today on Real Radio.
For those of you who doubt the Bible, let me throw this out to you. Mark it down. Israel will become more and more of a news item as the weeks and as the months and as the years go by. It's the way it's been, and it's going to increase.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Promise Keeper, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future. For one, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what's going to happen in the last days, and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 26, we saw how it opened up with the words, "in that day," three very significant words that place a timestamp of what's being said. One future event will be God restoring his purpose for Israel while keeping them hidden from judgment. Deliverance is the hope of every true believer, and we will also be in his care, in a place that he's prepared for us in heaven. Now in Isaiah chapter 27, we'll see how the way God dealt with Israel as a nation is an example of his very person, nature, and character. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God has promised to love Israel forever. He promises to bless the earth through Israel. Hatred, of course, continues to grow in this world against Israel. But Israel is not going to go away. When Christ returns, Israel's borders will expand, and God's full promise to them will be realized. And now, continuing his lesson called The Promise Keeper, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So as we look at this tonight, I want you to be thinking about promises. Promises. Number one, as we look, verse one, the promise keeper, is that he's promised to defend the Jewish people. In that day, looking to the future, even from tonight in the 21st century, we're looking ahead. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, that's his word, by the way. The Lord's severe sword is his word. Great and strong. Will, number one, punish Leviathan. We're going to have some fun with this. Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent. And he, number two, will slay the reptile or the dragon that is in the sea. Listen, this is amazing portion of scripture, and the one word makes it so. Leviathan. It's ancient Syrian language or Assyrian language that is used here, and it means a monster of the sea or a monster of the land. It's something, listen, that devours. It's something that destroys. Here's where it gets really interesting. In the original meaning of the word that is used from ancient paganism, and Isaiah's lifting this word up to us, it is a thing, mythological thing. It is something radically bizarre, nothing you're going to see at the zoo, that whatever it is, again, in a mythological sense, it consumes the world above and the world beneath. Listen, this is going to, you're going to start getting connections here in a second. Whatever it is, it's mysterious and it consumes. It is known as a monster. It devastates. Okay? God is going to destroy or punish it, I should say, with his severe sword or word. Some of you getting this? God's going to speak a word and a great Leviathan is going to be punished when God speaks a word. If you know the book of Revelation, your ears are perking up already. And he will slay the reptile that is in the sea, meaning, as some of your Bible translations have the word dragon. You say, okay, Jack, look, unless you're watching Harry Potter, I'm not aware of any dragons. I understand that. And that's, he's not talking about Harry Potter either. He's talking about something that has caused the biblical astute person to realize, wait a minute, in antiquity, Leviathan is bad news. Number two, You don't kill Leviathans with a word. So something bigger than a sword and Sir Lancelot and a castle is going on here. Something's up. The Lord is going to speak a word and is going to punish this dragon thing that devours both above and beneath, above the sea and below the sea. And if you're Jewish tonight, you know that the sea is always, always in Jewish writing, dangerous and bad and foreboding. No way. Ugly, bad, mean things come up out of the sea. In the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist and his global empire rises up out of the sea. It has multiple heads, the depiction of this dragon. Interesting. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out," that is, cast out of the access to heaven, "the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who devours the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels, fallen angels, were cast out with him." That's a perfect thing to write down to your margins here in verse 1. It's Revelation 12, 9. Expositional constancy in Bible interpretation. Dragon, who's the dragon? Find out about the dragon. By the way, the word also implies that the Leviathan is against creation. I find that interesting. The Leviathan, the word implies one who destroys creation, one who destroys order. The Leviathan is committed to chaos. And I was just meditating on that, think about that. God is the God of order. God is the God of creation. According to the definition of Leviathan, he is for chaos and he is for destruction of creation. I find that fascinating because anything that destroys creation is not of God, if you think about it. People who go around killing little animals, you know, and kittens and weird, those, that's weird stuff, man. That's sick. That's sick. In fact, if you know somebody like that, you either want to turn them in or get that corrected. That is precursor to serial killer kind of activity, man. That's sick. Anybody who wants to destroy creation, something's wrong. Arsonists want to burn down forests, and they get some sort of a perverse jolly out of it. Sick. Okay? Weird. Evil. Leviathan loves that. Isn't that interesting? God created Adam and Eve in perfect order. Leviathan comes along and creates disorder among that creation. And you can just go down the list. Think for a moment. I'm not here to upset anybody. I just want to make you think. Think about it. What works? What is ordered? And what is reasonable? And what is practical? And what speaks of God? You ought to be able to identify those things. For example, the law. Law. I'm talking about real law, good law. Not California law. Law is given by God. Law is good. Romans 13 says it's good. Leviticus tells us God gave us the law that we could govern ourselves. William Bradford wouldn't step off the Mayflower until they had enacted a law, lest they be filled with mischief. It's good. Leviathan is against the law. When it comes to the order and the law of nature, think about it. Leviathan is against the natural laws. You look around at what's going on in the world. Listen, Leviathan is against the laws of morality. Leviathan is against the laws of logic. The Bible warns us that in the last days, men will promote evil and say that evil is good and good is evil. That's happening now. That's happening right now. I saw it happen yesterday on the Olympics. Promoting evil over good. Calling good evil and evil good. Remarkable. Leviathan is for destroying mankind. Whatever destroys man, he's for it, mankind. God created a male and a female to propagate and make a family. Think about how reasonable that is. Leviathan comes along and says, you can do whatever you want. You can have sex with anything. It's not about others. It's all about you. You see? Destroy. And listen, he lies. He lies. Jesus made it very clear. Leviathan is the father of lies. He's out to destroy. He'll lie to you and tell you, oh, this is good. This is so good for you, and it'll wind up killing you. He'll use stuff against you. He's out to destroy you. And listen, if you have followed his agenda, it's you think like he does now, and it's all about me. It's for me at anyone else's cost. Whatever they have to pay is fine. I don't care as long as it's for me. That's how he thinks. Leviathan, the destroyer. Revelation 20, verse 2 says that he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, or the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Isn't that great? Satan's going to be bound during the millennium. How's that? Bound up. It's going to be a good day. God has promised, though, in verse 1, to defend the Jewish people. He's announcing that I'm going to take care of your archenemy. Now, Leviathan, of course, I'm talking about the devil, is the enemy of us all. But specifically, he's got it out for Israel. You read the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that the dragon was waiting for the woman to bring, and the woman's Israel, the nation that has 12 stars around her head is Israel, says the Bible in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, this is sickly graphic, the Bible tells us that the dragon was waiting for the woman to bring forth her child that he might consume it, but the child was caught up to heaven. It's a reference to Christ. The dragon. And of course, Isaiah is speaking predominantly, of course, the prophet to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. The second thing we see, the promise keeper, God will keep his promise to defend the Jewish people. The second thing is that he's promised to love Israel forever. In that day, sing to her. This is God singing to her. A vineyard of red wine. That's a good thing to the Lord. It's beautiful. The families gather together, even in Israel today. I don't know what they do. I don't know. They don't have the alcohol hangups that our country has, or the alcoholism. I don't know. And is it intoxicating wine? I'm not going to get into that. It just says a vineyard of red wine. The families gathered around. It's a joyful moment. He announces, I, the Lord, keep it. What? Israel. The context is Israel. I water it every moment. This is a comfort to me. If God has promised to water Israel every moment, how much more for you and I when the Bible tells us that we have been brought in now to the commonwealth of Israel, that the promises given to Israel are also us as we've been grafted in. We get to have that. The church gets to enjoy the benefits of what God first spoke to Israel. We've been grafted in. Doesn't God, don't you as a believer, can you attest to the fact that God seems to water your life every moment? I don't understand everything that happens in my life. Sometimes it's like, this doesn't feel like water every moment. But he's in control. He's in control. And I know this is spiritually speaking, but there's actual realities to this. I wish we could all, and I know you would say, yeah, me too, do this. But I wish I could bundle you all up and take you to Israel, especially to up to the areas of the Golan Heights where the Hula Valley would be to our left. Remember, we're looking up there, standing up there. The Hula Valley was just to our left. We're high up on the Golan, and we're looking over to the Israeli-Lebanese border. And we're standing on that mountain, and we're looking at this area, and it's emerald green. And it's almost like your eyes are messed up. It's like, wait, are you kidding me? Did somebody take a tractor and plow down a couple 50, 60 miles right there at that point? You look and it goes from emerald green, within a mile, it's all brown. And you're not going to believe me, but you got to check this out. You're looking at that and you know what it is? It's the border. You got to be kidding me. Nope. You can watch sometimes clouds roll in and it rains on the Israel side. I'm not kidding. And it's like, what? And you say, I don't believe you. I told you wouldn't believe me. Just Google Earth it and take a look. It's freaky weird. He says he waters it, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. The Bible tells us another place that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. How's that for an alarm system? The Almighty God. Wow. Fury is not in me. I like that. Fury is not in me. God says, I don't want to be upset. That's not in my heart. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? That's like a joke. Are you kidding? Who could do that? Who would go through them? I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He has promised to love Israel forever. God sings them a song. The covenants in the Old Testament, those are unbreakable covenants. God says, I'm going to keep them. And when we study the book of Isaiah tonight, here in the 21st century, we're looking ahead to events that are yet forthcoming. The amazing thing is you and I are in an amazing spot right now. Because as I said, since May 14th, 1948 to today, we're living in Bible times. The clock is ticking. God is about to do a work. And you watch. For those of you who doubt the Bible, let me throw this out to you. Mark it down. Israel will become more and more of a news item as the weeks and as the months and as the years go by. It's the way it's been, and it's going to increase. God loves Israel, and he says forever. In that day, he'll sing to her. Thirdly, the promise keeper, the Lord, he promised to bless the earth by or through Israel. Verses 6 to 13, God has promised to bless the world through Israel. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? The world right now, if the world could vote, they would vote Israel off the island. If the world could tonight, they would cut Israel out of the map. We all know this. Anti-Semitism is growing radically. It's bizarre. Germany right now as a government is trying to curtail. They're trying to cut the rise of anti-Semitism among the young people in Germany. Did you know in German, in schools in Germany, they teach the Holocaust? You see, wait, Germany teaches the Holocaust to the German people? Yes, you want to know why? The Germans do not want to be involved in another Holocaust. It didn't go well for them in the first time, and they don't want to be involved in the second one. And they believe educating their youth will keep that from happening. Great, great effort, but something's not working. There's a great rise of anti-Semitism in the world, but he's promised to bless the earth through Israel. I said, man, that doesn't make any sense. I know, but watch God do it. Plus Israel, you know. Now, we have to be careful. Right now, Israel's the size of Lake Michigan, I think. And the Israel of the millennium is not the size of New Jersey or Lake Michigan. You guys, the Israel of the millennium will be the Israel borders that were promised to Abraham. If the United Nations is listening right now, I hope so, because they won't be able to sleep after they hear this. Israel's not going to go away. They got great tribulation coming. They got the Antichrist is coming to ruin their lives terribly. Yes, all that's true. But here's the deal. When Jesus returns, he's going to establish the promised borders that he gave to Abraham. Have you ever looked at those borders? They're massive. There's a hint about it tonight. It's going to be from the Euphrates River. Do you know where that is? In Iraq. It's going to go from the Euphrates River all the way down to where the Sinai or the Suez Canal toward Egypt. It's going to engulf. It's massive. The millennial promises that God said, this will be the border, Abraham, has never been realized. It came close under the reign of Solomon, but not totally. Solomon had the biggest piece of it, but not all of it. There will not be the full realization of that territory until a greater than Solomon comes. And when he comes, the full promise will be realized under his government. How fun and cool. And you say, that's not going to be fun because I don't believe it. Yeah, that's going to be hard for you if you're an anti-Semite and you don't believe in the Bible. I get that. But please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everything Israel does today is good and right. That's not what God asked us to support them for. He asked us to pray for them. He asked us to share the gospel with them. They're his chosen people. Can they drive you crazy? They can drive you crazy. Are they hard to talk to? Very hard to talk to. Scary, brilliant people? Scary, brilliant people. More Nobel Prize winners have been Jewish than any other race in the world. Did you know that? They're scary smart. They're very independent and self-reliant and very stubborn. And I think God's trying to send us a picture that he's going to save them. Only he could save them. But he's promised to bless the entire earth through Israel. I love how that just flies in the face of CNN, Fox, and the UN, and everybody else. And verse 6 says, those who come, so you ought to mark that. Those who come, whoever they are, we don't know yet. We're just asking, who could these be? He shall cause to take root in Jacob. Look at this. Those who come, he, God, shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. That's yet coming. That's going to be the future. The amazing thing is Israel today has come from nothing to one of the great fruit producers in the world today, Israel. It's remarkable. I remember being in Russia in the dead of winter and all these amazing fruits and flowers for sale on kiosks on the street corners. In the middle of winter, all these amazing flowers and fruit. And you think, where did they get this? And you go up to, can I ask you, where in the world did you get this? It's Russia. It's 20 below zero. How did you do this? And they'll tell you, Israel. This comes from Israel. Planes come every other day from Israel with this stuff. Isn't that amazing? But here in the Bible, it says that Israel. You see, well, I don't believe the Bible. Okay, but can you entertain this for a moment? Israel, you can, the land is so fertile, you could spit and something might grow. He said, I thought it was all rocky. You should see what grows between the rocks. When last time we were in Israel, little bananas. And I'm thinking, we don't have little bananas like that in California. We got giant bananas. We don't make these wimpy ones. American bananas are huge. And I bit into that little thing, and I almost had like a psychedelic trip, man, of flavor. It's like, what? You know what it's called? It's called a banapple. They've made it the taste. Looks like a banana, smells like a banana. You bite into it, and it's like taking a bite of a banana and an apple at the exact same time. Banapple. I said, what is this? It's a banapple. And then I humbly, we don't have those in California. Little tiny thing packed with amazing flavor. They engineered that. I don't know why you just don't eat a banana and apple, but they thought in one bite, why take two bites when you can take one bite? I'm telling you, that's how they think. Very efficient. You could have two pieces of fruit in one fruit. But the Bible says they're going to be so much a blessing, they're going to bless the entire earth with fruits.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Promise Keeper. Thanks for joining us today. And how do we make God's promises our own? Well, by recognizing that we're on solid ground when it comes to leaning on Him. The Old Testament saints did it, the disciples did it, the apostles did it, and best of all, Jesus did it while here on earth. The Promise Keeper is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're interested in starting a devotional time with the Lord, Pastor Jack has written some great devotional material to both encourage you and challenge you along the way. Just go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Devotions tab. Once you're there, you'll find Devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new verse each week along with a personal story from Pastor Jack to go along with it. He's also provided previous devotions that you can click on for daily reading. And don't forget to sign up for our devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. It's all right there when you click on the Devotions tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and be inspired. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.